You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, Ron, have you ever been in a restaurant and sat down to eat and you're having a cup of coffee, arguing with your spouse, and the people next to you butt into your argument and say that you sound just like them when they argue?
And that's exactly right, Linda. And as a matter of fact, we've got those two Budinskis in here with us tonight, and we're going to have a nice coffee conversation with Teresa and Nat from the San Francisco Bay Area. How are you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
Doing fantastic.
Well, we're just enjoying our vacation, aren't we, in Hawaii, after some stressful work, all of us?
Yes, we are.
Absolutely. And it's been beautiful here.
It's been gorgeous weather. So listen, I want to talk with you, Linda and I having escaped California a couple of years ago, but we're still tied there with businesses. We just want to find out from you, from the San Francisco Bay Area, just what the heck is it like living as conservatives in the People's Republic of the San Francisco Bay Area?
Well, luckily we use fake names because we are behind the Iron Curtain in the PRC. I've been in the Bay Area my entire life. It's definitely changed quite a bit. I mean, obviously with the 60s and the hippie movement, Berkeley, believe it or not, used to be a conservative town. My father was raised in Berkeley, and it was a conservative town. And we all know that that's no longer the case. And it's been pretty much the safe haven for anybody from the left. And unfortunately, that's what it is today, and more so than anywhere that I can think of. The social issues are a constant problem. The homeless, it's absolutely running rampant. Tent cities everywhere, and there's really no good solutions that the government's providing.
And that's a change for you, Nat. So when you grew up in that area, you didn't have all the tent cities and the homeless around?
No, there were homeless. There's always been homeless. But as far as it just being so widespread and in the public view with pretty much no concern for the property owners, et cetera. It's just wide open. You can throw a tent anywhere, throw your trash anywhere, you know, defecate, urinate on the sidewalks. It's how it is, and it's very upsetting to me and most of my friends that are also conservative. Yes, there's more than one of me, but it's rotten.
Well, you know, Teresa, I know that before you met Nat, you didn't live in the San Francisco Bay Area. You actually lived up in Sacramento County, right?
Right.
And what was that like? And then after you guys got together, how was that transition in coming down and living at the San Francisco Bay Area?
So I think it's been really daylight and dark for me. I lived up above Sacramento in a suburb, and it was really pretty conservative area. Most of my friends and coworkers were pretty like-minded with me. And then when Nat and I got together and I started coming to the Bay Area more, I realized, wow, there's like a lot of diversification in how people think and how they live and how they react to everyday events as well as political events that happen. And so it's definitely been an adjustment for me as I have been living in the Bay Area now for about 7 months. But we've been together for 5 years, so kind of going back and forth between the very different communities about 90 miles apart, really different events and different experiences as we would live at my husband's house versus if we would go to my house. So sometimes we called it, one was a retreat and one was the place that, you know, we lived.
Now, did you sell the place in the outer suburbs in the Sacramento County, and now you live You guys have one house in the Bay Area now?
So we're under the same roof. Okay. Haven't sold my house yet. We're just getting ready to put it on the market. So a great girlfriend of mine is going to be listing it, and we're going to sell it. And so that's kind of severing those ties with that more, I guess, conservative area, and then moving into the area that is much more liberal for the most part. And okay. So, yeah, still an adjustment for me.
So how does where you live now, how does that area handle things like the homeless living? Like you say, they're on the streets. They kind of do what they want to do.
Well, where we're at, we don't have as big of an issue with it. But when you talk about Berkeley and Oakland, San Francisco, I hate to say it, but it almost seems like the city governments are sponsoring it. I mean, to me, it's ridiculous, you know, because, you know, once again, as with any liberal type city, you know, the cops can't do anything because they're always at a disadvantage because, you know, they don't want to be penalized. And so pretty much the vagrants just run free. They do what they want to do.
Well, you know, the court cases have a lot to do with that. And because I'm involved with court all the time, you know, both the criminal side and the civil side, there is such an enabling by these judges in the superior court system and going all the way up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which we all know is the most liberal overturned court in the United States. By the way, Trump just got district court federal judge in there today. So that's very interesting. He just bypassed Congress in order to do it. So maybe we'll see a little change. But, you know, for the police can't do anything unless it's within what we call the codified statutes. And so when the judges take that from us, right, they take it from law enforcement, which means they take it from you, then it just makes it difficult for everybody.
And that's an interesting statement because that's exactly what happens. The people that are not doing right have all the rights, and those of us that actually pay the taxes, go to work every day, keep our keep on the straight and narrow, we're the ones that are penalized.
You know, we were noticing one thing in Hawaii, that the gas prices here in Hawaii, as we speak right now, are about the same as in California. Now, in Texas, they're $1 to $1.50 a gallon less.
Well, I've always found that interesting. We were in Oahu a couple of years ago, and I was really making a kind of a stink about that. Hey, I think gas was about $3 a gallon here, and it was $3 a gallon in the Bay Area. And I'm like, wait a second. I don't see any refineries here, so they're shipping gasoline across the Pacific, and we actually live in a town that has a refinery.
Exactly.
And our gas prices are the same, if not more.
Right, and you know, I'm going to make you feel horrible, because in Texas, we take our oil and we basically put it on a train or we put it on a ship and we move it to California, and it gets refined in California and it comes back to Texas, okay? And it's still like $1.50 to $2 cheaper than what you have in California.
I only have one thing to say. You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't know that until one day we were together. We were at Walmart, because that's where you go in Texas. You go to Walmart, and I was filling up. And the guy saw at that time I had California plates on my truck, right, because I was a newbie. And I was talking about the gas, and the guy said, well, you know, this gas comes from California.
That's just not right.
Well, you are just giving credence to all the bad things that Bill Maher said about us flyover states, that we just go to a Target instead of, you know, asking what designer we're wearing that day. And, you know, I just have a huge issue with all the things that he said about everybody that is not a Hollywood celebrity. But anyway, that being said, there have been a lot of changes in California. So many changes that it caused Ron and I to leave the state. There were things like the taxes, but more than the taxes, it was the politics of letting the felons out of prison, just constantly making the people that are doing the work, that are paying the money, that are earning the taxes, and watching them give them away to everybody who's not earning anything, who's not contributing to society, making the state a sanctuary state, we said we've got to go. What is your take?
You know, I think we talk about that a lot ourselves. I think we have had these conversations and said, well, if not California, then where? Where would we go? What would that look like for us? Could we leave California? And the answer to that is yes, we could. I've lived in California for a lot of years. It's not my home state, but it has been my home for many years. So the thought of leaving is both exhilarating and scary all at the same time.
You know, I've got an interesting question for both of you, and you can, you know, answer it individually. How does the politics of California, and especially the San Francisco Bay Area, which is uber liberal, how does that affect your work relationships with other people? I mean, how do you conduct yourself? Are there obstructions to those relationships? Are there difficulties? How does that work out?
I can give you a quick example. I have a couple of coworkers, and I'm in sales, and so I have one guy who's in the Bay Area that's actually conservative, and one guy in the Central Valley, Sacramento area, who is not. And they had a conversation that the one got pulled into and realized that the other one was liberal, and now the liberal one really doesn't talk to him. It's that serious that there's such a division between liberal and conservative in California that pretty much, you know, those of us conservatives hang out with conservatives, and you know, if we get around liberals, we just kind of shut up.
Yeah, that's so unfortunate. And you know, there's been talk off and on of California dividing up into a Northern and Southern California, or maybe a three, you know, the state dividing three ways. What's that all about there? I mean, is that's the point of frustration? It must be.
I think that falls in the pipe dream category. Honestly, I think that every division that I've seen, you know, unless you start talking about the state of Jefferson, basically north of Sacramento, I think everything else they talk about is kind of unrealistic. I don't think the state of Jefferson will ever happen either because of the Sacramento political machine. I mean, if it did split, then I would definitely think about the state of Jefferson, because I love Northern California, the far north. But once again, I think it's not realistic.
And that, you know, explain what the state of Jefferson, the concept of the state of Jefferson is, because people hear that from time to time, but I don't really think they understand what that is.
Well, to my understanding, and you guys can all fact check me on this, prior to World War II, actually parts of Northern California were in the process of seceding from the rest of California, and that would be the state of Jefferson. I believe it was counties above Sacramento County going to the Oregon border. So if you drive around Northern California, say Redding, Red Bluff, those areas, you will see State of Jefferson stickers on trucks, and it's
really,
you know, well, that's your conservative part of California. I mean, that's the big misunderstanding to California is that there's a lot of conservatives in California. I mean, you know, Gavin Newsom won by a really, you know, pretty big margin. I think it was 60-40 or something like that. But you remember, there's still that 40% that voted Republican. It's fascinating to me that, you know, you have so much agribusiness and so many things going on in the Central Valley, you know, pretty much from Bakersfield to the Oregon border. Businesses run by conservatives because they just don't want to leave. And I've said for a long time that, you know, if you're in agriculture or manufacturing, the only reason why you're in California is because you want to live there. There's no benefit to it.
Right. I mean, you know, California, we all know this. You know, all of us here were born and bred in California. And
except for Teresa,
I'm sorry. And, you know, it's the salad bowl of the world. And, I mean, it's a beautiful country. I mean, geographically, it's It's got the mountains. It's got the ocean. It has beautiful valleys. It has, you know, the wine countries. It has all sorts of things. So it's really a beautiful place to live. I mean, where we lived in SoCal, we were able to get to the mountains and go skiing within 2 hours of where our ranch was, or within an hour or less, we could be at the beach. And I mean, there's very few states that can do something like that. But what we found is that if the politics are bad and the restrictions and the regulations on business are bad and the taxes are so damn high, what's the point of continuing to live there? Because you can live in other beautiful places.
Right. And you know what, Teresa, you and I have talked a little bit about some things that you find happening at your work, because you have the kind of the liberal conservative, they have a division there.
Right, definitely. And so I think sometimes when it comes to the political arena and trying to figure out where other people stand around me, I sort of dip a toe into the water first. Since we're in Hawaii, that felt like a good statement.
Yeah.
But you sort
good
of
analogy.
Do. And
good
you
analogy.
Think, you know, is the water warm? Is it cold? Is it hot? What is this water temperature around me? And so sometimes you do sort of just roll it out there to see what people and how they interact with you. And I do find as a conservative, I take it pretty easy. So I don't want to offend people, but I do have my opinions. So it's that balancing act of, okay, you feel and believe very differently than I do. So how do I either express myself well or decide that we need to change the channel and go to a different topic?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's got to be uncomfortable. You know what? And the truth is, I have the same thing at my company. I have employees that are on both sides. And, you know, so it's just not something that we talk about. And there's plenty of work to do to keep everybody busy, so we just don't need to go down that political street. So sometimes that's just the best way.
I do agree.
So I want to go back to this subject again. We left California, as you know. Do you have any plans to really look down the future and can see yourself leaving California?
Yes. As hard as that may be for me, I've lived in the same 15 square miles my whole life. And yeah, I'm pretty fond of California too. All the benefits of the state, you know, go diving one day, go snowboarding the next. But realistically, the tax issue in California, the political climate, the firearms issues in California they're basically creating an environment where I have to leave. So we're looking at a few different states. We've looked at Arizona, Utah, and Tennessee, and Tennessee's probably leading the race right now. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
Well, let's have a cup of coffee, and we'll come back.
You got it.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Well, Nat, Teresa, Ron, are you all coffeeed up?
I'm coffeeed up. Listen, I've got a question because Linda and I were just having a conversation just the other day, and we were talking about this professor at University of California, Davis, which is my dad's alma mater, and he was advocating for the killing of police officers and the abolishment of police agencies all across the United States. And of course, he's a Marxist and avowed member of Occupy and everything like that. But I couldn't help but get so disappointed and frustrated over the terrible problems with the education system in the state of California. And I know you've got some younger kids than we do that are going through that educational system right now. So I just wanted to know what your thoughts were.
Well, you know, back to the whole concept of no law enforcement, that what we were talking about last night with the left creating chaos and therefore being able to implement more government control, I think that plays into that very, very nicely. As far as education goes, because of the district that we live in, the public schools were, I hate to use the word pathetic, but they were pathetic. I mean, state scores between the 25th and 30th percentile. And so I had to spend the extra money, so I'm paying my taxes like a good Californian, my property taxes for the schools. And by the way, we are taxed relatively high on that, on add-ons. But my kids ended up having to go to private school, which was a pretty big burden on me. But, you know, I felt it was the right thing to do because I didn't want to have a couple of cockroaches instead of, you know, good kids. So,
but you know, what a betrayal, right? I mean, because we all pay taxes, and the education system in California is so bad, you've got to spend hard-earned money beyond what you're already paying, which is hard-earned money, and you can't get any benefits for your kids out of the California education system. So you've got to send them to a private school or maybe a parochial school or something like that, charter school, to get at least a decent, balanced education.
And the real sad thing about that is that anytime there's a school bond on the ballot or a public service bond, fire, police, whatever, the taxpayers get hit pretty darn hard, and then the money's misappropriated.
Oh, or
at least
yes.
At least that's what it seems like to me.
I think you're definitely right.
It definitely is misappropriated, and a lot of those monies that the state gets for all different things, they keep throwing at those pensions that they're way behind on and they're way in debt on, that Jerry Brown saddled the state with a long time ago. But you remember when we got the lottery in California, and that was supposed to be the panacea that saved the schools. All this money was going to go to the schools. Where is that money?
Well, to my understanding, actually, that money, the lottery money, does go to the schools, and the money that used to go to the schools went to the general fund.
Well, but it's, you're right. It didn't. So one replaced the other. One did not add and save the schools.
Correct. Absolutely correct. And I've got a good friend who's a teacher down south, and they're still buying their own supplies for their classrooms.
Well, you know, Linda has some interesting stories with her company where she has, you know, millions of pens and all sorts of things like that. And I mean, we're talking really tens of thousands of pens that she can't use because they're samples or whatever. And she wants to give them away to the school districts. Just give them things, and they won't accept them because they have logos on them.
Right, they won't accept them. We could talk for an hour on the stories I have about schools, but you know, that's it's a passion of mine, because I just think that the educational system in California, and you know, that's the one that I know. So I don't know the other states, because our kids didn't go to school in other states, so I don't know the other states and what they do. But what I know is how much it changed in California, and how they started doing things like taking phonics out, and they stopped teaching the basics of math. Just, you know, addition, subtraction, division, multiplication, and they started teaching all kinds of other things to the kids before they learn those basics. And they give them calculators, and nobody can do anything in their head. I can do math in my head all day long, because I went to Catholic school, And they drilled that into me, and I know how to do it. I know how to balance my checkbook. When our kids get out of school, they don't know how to do these basic things anymore. And one thing that I know about you that I love, that we've talked about before, is that you believe in things like shop in school and those types of things, because I don't believe that all kids should be going to college. College is not for everybody, especially the college that we have now. And if we would put those trades back, I think a lot of kids would have a better direction in life. And trades are something we will always need.
Well, this is the only place I'm going to give a plug to the state of California, because the Department of Education has been doing a pretty good job of funding machine shops in community colleges and even in high schools. And what I know about this is that they're serious about getting students to not only look at four-year degrees, but to look at certifications for being machinists and welding, machining, electrical, really trying to bring the construction trades back in community college, which is, it's almost counterintuitive to what you would expect out of California. But the problem is that you still have such, well, I shouldn't even say a left slant, it's just straight leftist as far as the educators go in all the other subject areas. You might find trade guys that are, either they don't have an opinion or they might lean a little conservative. But the reality is if a student has to go take an English class or a history class or a psychology class, a sociology class, these are the platforms for the left to rot the minds of the youth, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I really agree with you entirely. You know, before I got involved in law enforcement, I was a U.S. history teacher, so I love U.S. history, and I love international history, European, all history. I love it all. And they've just dumped down the history of the United States. They've made it a phony history, an all-inclusive, politically correct kind of history that really, in many instances, bears no reality to what history was all about. I know we had a conversation just the other night about how they've completely misinterpreted and misrepresented what the Civil War was all about to make it more politically correct. And then, and I don't know if you guys know this, you may know it because you've got younger kids, but they don't even teach civics in the United States anymore. So people have no idea about different types of governments.
Well, of course, that's why we don't need the Electoral College, right?
Right.
Because nobody studies civics. Nobody knows anything about states' rights, right? Okay, so, you know, it's very convenient if you eliminate these subjects and people don't learn why we have these things in place in government. It's so easy to say, you know what, we just need to get rid of that. Because, you know, we want to be a democracy, not a republic.
So, and they don't know the difference between them.
Exactly.
Okay. That's so interesting you brought that up.
Go ahead.
No, you have actually pulled your kids out of classes that you didn't approve of.
Well, interestingly enough, I'm not a bad writer. So my son had a history paper due, and I thought, okay, you know, I know he's struggling with this. I'll see if I can help him out. And the paper was basically on American history from the perspective of the victims. Okay, you know, I can probably do this. But the stuff that the articles that he was supposed to read to form a paper off of, I mean, it was really hard to stomach when I was reading this stuff. I mean, it was so anti-American that at the end of the day, I mean, it was anti-American, anti-Christian. It was basically against everything that a good patriot, like the four of us sitting in this room, would believe. And I looked at him, I said, you know what? You don't have to write this paper. You withdraw from that class, because there's no reason I'm going to spend money on this.
So did he... He withdrew from the class. Did he take a different class?
He actually changed schools and ended up taking the same class, but at a different college. And the interesting thing is, in this, the I believe it was the semester following, he tried to take an English class. And he went in the first day, and the teacher basically went off about white privilege. And this is a very common theme in as far as I can tell in community college, and he's mixed race but looks very Caucasian. So here's this instructor basically, you know, setting up retaliation to my kid because he looks like he's Caucasian and he's male and he happens to be straight. So, you know, that's three strikes right there. And the problem is he walked out of that class, went to try to add another English class, and it was the same diatribe. So the problem is we are, while the rest of us are out working, doing what we're supposed to do, and we send our kids to school, whether it be community college or university, we have no idea what these professors are spewing as far as straight up hatred. See, the big misnomer is they're always trying to make the right out to be the hate group. No, we're not. We just want to be able to work and be left alone and actually enjoy our own history. Good, bad, or indifferent, it's our history. And so what I'm saying is just this creation of anti-white male hatred.
Yes. Yeah, it just seems to be that these terms are coming out more and more, and then they get repeated over and over and over. It's like it becomes this media thing where, you know how they do the little snippets of 25 different reporters saying the same exact thing, the same exact words. And, you know, they get it into people's consciousness. And this is what they've been doing to the kids for a long time. And it's really a problem. And, you know, I think that Teresa had the best question, really, that stumped all of us. And that is, I'm going to let you ask it.
What do we do? How do we get together? How do we garner all of those who are like-minded and basically assimilate and move forward and change what's happening out there? How do we figure this out? Who do we trust? Who do we talk to? Where do we get our facts? How do we filter through to make sure that those really are the facts? And how do we move forward?
And that is absolutely the question and the issue that we are all struggling with. And, you know, the four of us have had conversations about that, and it's a tough subject. But I feel like there's a movement afoot. I see it more and more, and I see that the people in the flyover states and the people that are, you know, in Northern California that are conservative, that are kind of in their own little world there, we all feel it. So how do we bring it together is the real question. How do we make something happen from this? Because we certainly have our vote and we need to use it, right? But more than that, I mean, there's just got to be warning bells going off in this country that there's a problem afoot and we need to nip it in the bud.
Well, you know, many of the problems that we experience in the United States, in California, in particular, those problems are not rocket science, okay? I mean, we have a mental health system that's been in a shambles in California and nationally. It's an absolute disgrace. Obviously, part of that deals with homelessness, another national disgrace. Everybody wants to kick these cans down the road. Nobody wants to take any accountability or responsibility, and the judges are so liberal, they don't see the forest through the trees, and they enable these things. And, of course, the problems fester, and they get worse. And it affects all of us.
Now, when you have every single Democratic person running for president that votes to not be able to stop the murder of a child that's been born, I just, I don't even know what to say to that anymore, because it's so far from where life was as I knew it as a person growing up in the United States. And now here we are, that we can't even affirm a life out of the womb.
Well, you know, I've seen tremendous negative changes just in the last 3 years, let alone 10 or 15 years. I mean, it seems that when people need to be taking responsibility for their actions and recognizing what our major problems are, they're doubling or tripling down in the opposite direction, you know? And I'll tell you, it's very disquieting.
It is.
So, Teresa, your kids are obviously younger than our kids. Have they come to you? Do they come to you? Are there stressors associated with, you know, moving from a more conservative suburb down into more of a heavy populated urban, you know, setting and going, changing schools and everything like that? How has that worked out?
Well, I think the fortunate part for my boys is they did get to grow up and go to school in that conservative area. So they both got to graduate from high school up above Sacramento, where we used to live. And my older son in particular assimilated really well into school, did great, and had a really different experience. I didn't have to pay for private school in the area that I lived in. The schools were... did really well in their percentiles and in their testing, and as far as California schools, did really well. That afforded my older son a great opportunity to go to a four-year college, but then partway through decided to pull the plug and join the military.
Okay.
And so, you know, did he come to me and talk to me about the politics that were going on in the areas? Occasionally we'd have some political conversations. He identifies as being conservative, as do I. And so he assimilated and identified with that and has chosen that as his political viewpoint. And I think joining the military sort of speaks to that as well. That's a pretty conservative person who's going to join the military, considering that there are people who think that we don't need police officers any longer.
Right. Yeah.
That must make you a proud mom.
Yeah, and we saw a picture of your son, and he's absolutely handsome in his uniform, and we thank him for his service. Hey, how about one last cup of coffee?
I am ready.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere, and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to ResponseToActiveShooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, ResponseToActiveShooter.com, and be safe out there.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm enjoying this Kona coffee this evening. How about y'all?
Oh, so good.
It's fantastic.
Well, I want to know if you'll enjoy it just a little more if I throw a little Bailey's in there for you.
Actually, I prefer Irish whiskey. But
okay.
Moving right along. I tell you, you guys have definitely created a monster here. So Teresa and I were sitting in the pool this afternoon, and all of a sudden she starts hitting me up with a bunch of questions, and she's pretty much lived under a rock for as long as we've been together. I feed her a little bit of news here and there. But she hit me with the real question. Where do I find real news?
Well, you know, I think I was in the business of raising kids and doing that single mom thing for a lot of years. And so I chose to live under a rock for a lot of reasons. I was busy. We had sports. We had school. I had work. And it was so frustrating to try and figure out, oh, well, is this real? Do I believe this? Does this make sense to me? So one day I just said, you know what? I'm unplugging, and I'm going to live under a rock. And I've maintained that for a lot of years. And today, we're sitting in the pool talking, and I said, you know, I don't have time to read 6-7 different news articles on the same subject. I don't have time to watch the news around the clock. I want to know where to go to get the information that I need so I can filter it out and then realize, okay, this is what I believe. This is what sounds real to me. This is factual. This is what happened. Here's the facts. Here's the data. Where do I go to get that? So now I am on this quest, and you guys are a part of that, and I'm really glad to be a part of it.
Well, you know, we're honored that you are, and you know what? You personify what so many Americans think and feel, because I always say, we conservatives are working. We're busy making a living. We're busy employing people. We're busy raising our kids. We don't have time to go out there and protest and cause all the chaos that the liberals are causing out there, and, you know, having people pay them to get on a bus and go, you know, cause some commotion. We're working. But so many people, I think, right now feel the way that you do, and they are kind of coming out into the sunshine here and saying, wait a minute, something doesn't seem right, and this doesn't sound right to me, and this is kind of fake news. So it's a really good question, and I'm not sure that Ron and I can answer that, but we have struggled with the same thing ourselves, certainly. And I will say this, and it's not a plug, but it is a plug, because what we found and why we are part of America Out Loud is because the people that are on America Out Loud, by and large, from all of our experiences with all of the different hosts, they speak the truth. And that is the goal of that station. Now, there's certainly other outlets. There's
One America News.
We love One America News. We feel that they're very straight. It's very news. It's not a ton of opinion. It's a lot of, you know, here's the facts. And
I was going to say, mm-hmm. you know, because I work for One America News, and I do Fox News and everything, and I've worked the different networks, and I've even done NPR and BBC and Sky News and everything. But I think of all the different news networks, One America News gives you the best, most accurate, no BS, no frills, the real deal kind of news. You know, Fox News, you know, they tout themselves as being fair and balanced. I can take or leave, you know, Fox News. I mean, there's people you like, just like every place else. There's people that you like, there's people you don't really like. I don't even do any work anymore for NBC or CNN or MSNBC, and I'm a little wary about the BBC, because they're so darn liberal, and they don't give you real facts. But I think the most important thing is paying attention to what the people say, and every once in a while just vet that information to see if it's really accurate, because you'll be surprised what is getting out there and passing itself off as news. But I'll say one more thing, and then I'll shut up. You both typify the people that have coffee with us at night, okay, on Talking While Mary. Don't you think, Linda?
Oh, absolutely.
You really typify it. You ask the same questions. You have the same quandaries, mm-hmm. right? Your same concerns. So believe me, we're with you there.
First of all, if you have common sense, and you both do, you can probably filter out a lot of that on your own, just because you know what sounds right and what doesn't sound right. But also, I think for Ron and I, one of the things that really surprised us over the time that Ron's been in media and doing television appearances is that the stations that take what he says and skews it. And then we know that those are not the stations that are going to report ethically. And, you know, honestly, One America News never skews it. Fox News doesn't skew what he says.
They steal what I say.
Exactly. Some of the stations, absolutely. If you say one thing, they come back and say another. We have given response to active shooter classes around the country, and we have had media come in there with an agenda to say something bad about it.
And then watched it later that night and as they spun it.
And it's completely different than what happened in the class. Yeah. So that's very frustrating, and that goes on more often than not. So you know, we've made a point to search out people that tell the truth. And for my feeling, again, I have found the people on America Out Loud to be extremely credible and accurate. Is every single thing people say 100% right? No, it's a discussion. It's all a discussion. But it's not somebody dictating to you and telling you what to think and how you should think. And that is what I think we all resent, because we all have our own brains. And when you tell me as a woman, and they pick on women a lot, women pick on women a lot, about how we should be voting and how dare us not vote for Hillary and that type of thing. And I will say, I don't vote with my lady parts. I vote with my brain. And that is how I want to see women think, that I don't want them told what to do. I want us all to think it through, and we'll come to that right place. And I truly believe that. So it is just a matter of, you already have what it takes, Teresa, and you will know what's right and what's not right.
So yeah. I had a question for Nat, and that is, do you talk with your guy buddies, and do you guys talk about the news and what is credible news or not?
They talk about guy things.
No differently than you and I speak. Yeah. I mean, seriously, it's, you know, we all know better. You know, it's funny because you'll go into a restaurant, they'll have CNN on. If the volume's up and you listen to some of the swill that's on CNN, it's amazing to me. It's amazing how they down talk Trump and just the entire conservative concept. And it's just right up there up front. They're not hiding it. It's just in your face. Wow, that's good journalism.
Well, apparently, there's definitely an agenda there. Right. When you see Jim Acosta at the White House press corps, and he's yelling at the president and getting in an argument with him, and when Sarah Sanders is trying to get him to give her the mic and please sit down and be respectful, and he's like a little incalcitrant child throwing a tantrum, I'm going, you know, I don't need this. I'm an adult. You know, I don't need to hear this crap. Just give me some straight news. Ask a question, shut up, and sit down and give the president or Sarah Sanders or whoever an opportunity to answer it.
And
that's
respect.
Not news.
The respect is completely gone
right. For
the office of the presidency, which is extremely frustrating. I mean, I know that my parents would have, you know, slapped me upside the head if I would have ever spoken about the president in the terms that they do today.
Well, don't you think that drama should be reserved for the theater and not for the news and not for what you're trying to educate yourself about, but instead, you know, go to the theater if you want the drama.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. And, you know, they're so caught up with themselves in the celebrity of media, and Costa is just a wonderful example, that they don't even care that they're screwing everything up for everybody else. It's a complete entitlement. And how dare anybody? I mean, you shouldn't talk to, if you're a press person and you don't like Barack Obama when he was president, there is the office and the respect for the presidency that, in my opinion, everybody should respect. Let him say whatever he's going to say as the president. Ask your question, get the answer, but don't be arguing with the president of the United States. That's not the place for that.
I think it disrespects the office. I think it makes America look extremely foolish from the outside. The fact that we have a press corps that will do that to the president, and there's really no repercussion for it, I think it just makes us look so foolish.
Well, it does.
On the world stage.
And that's exactly, I think you made a wonderful point. And I want to take that just to the next level. we've got the president recently visited Vietnam to do a denuclearization negotiation with Kim Jong-un of North Korea, and the whole time the president of the United States is trying to negotiate for the safety and security of everybody in the United States. I mean, Republicans,
and
Democrats, I mean, everybody, right? I mean, regardless of your political persuasion, what are the Democrats in the media doing in lockstep is they're trying to do hearings and embarrass the president of the United States in on the world stage in front of a very important world leader that's got his finger on the nuclear button.
Absolutely. And President Trump's been the only one that's actually been able to negotiate with UN. So I don't understand how the left can look at this and have a problem with what President Trump has done. But, you know, once again, it's because President Trump's doing it and they're against anything he does.
Isn't that interesting? Because I always ask Ron, what is it that President Trump has done to any of them? Because if you look at our economy, it's far better. All of us are in business in one way or another, and I think we can all unequivocally say that the economy is way better. The job market is way better. The stock market is way better. Jobs are coming back. Manufacturing is coming back. What is wrong with this? He is... I even agree with the tariffs on China, because in my business, you know, I do a lot of importing. Am I paying them? Yes, but what's happening is some good things from that. Some good things are that people are finding other resources rather than China. That's making China want to come to the table. So he's done a lot of good things. What is it that he's done that makes them all so deranged about him? Nat?
I'd love to have an answer for that. I just can't see it, because I think that, you know, the way I was raised and the way that I critically look at things is, you know, I look for the good and bad and stuff. And, you know, once again, I gave the California Department of Education props in this conversation, and they, you know, that takes a lot, right? But, you know, you just have to look and say, okay, you know, if you're a reasonable human being, nobody's all bad, nobody's all good. We all know this, right? So it amazes me, and once again, I think this is the brainwashing that has happened because of our universities and the way that our college graduates come out of college completely indoctrinated. And if somebody tells them that Trump is evil, Trump's evil. Sorry, we're not free thinkers, right? And that's the problem. And if you look at a lot of the things that we as conservatives speculate about and say, you know, how can people think like this? And I think it falls under that category. It's a blind allegiance to the party.
You know, I see it as an emotional argument instead of a fact-based argument. And I mean, if you pay attention, the new progressive left and the socialists will tell you that, you know, the fake, what I call the fake social justice warriors. They're wringing their hands about all sorts of things, and they're completely disengaged personally with those same things, mm-hmm. you know. And, of course, it's everybody's fault but their fault. And I see that, and what really bothers me and concerns me as an American as a patriot, and then you can look at what we're just talking about with denuclearization with our president. You can look at the wall, the border security, and everything like that. It is they don't care about the American people. They hate this president, and they are willing to sacrifice our lives as Americans, either economically, strategically, going to war, the drug cartels, sex trafficking, you name it, fentanyl that's killing tens of thousands of Americans every single year. They're willing to overlook all of that because of their hatred of one man that they really can't touch, because he could care less.
And that is what I love about him. I have a question for Teresa, because as women, we hear a lot from people that say what a terrible man Trump is, and that women dislike him immensely, and he will not have the women's vote. What is your take?
I remember initially when he was running, and I kind of had to think through that. You know, I talked about living under a rock, but not so much that I didn't know who was running for president and didn't know that I needed to do some research and really get my head around how I felt about it. And initially I thought, I don't really know how I feel about this. And then I did a little more research and I went, you know, I like the stance that he takes. I like the fact that he was a good businessman, that he's got a good head on his shoulders and can run things and build things and grow things. And if he can do that in business, why can't he do that for America? So I really looked at it and went, what would be best for America? Okay, a change, what would be best for America? And he really has been that change. He's brought so many things into fruition that we needed as a nation, and he's continuing to do that.
I think, I mean, you have just said everything that I would say in a nutshell, and I'm just really happy to hear another woman, you know, not being deranged about President Trump and seeing it just how I see it. But I do want to say one more thing. I want to thank you both for coming in and joining us for coffee. And, you know, I just kind of have an inkling that maybe I'd like to graduate to a bottle of wine. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good.
Me too.
Thanks, guys.